ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। टुडे मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 6 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड प्रहलाद इंस्ट्रक्ट्स हिज डिमोनियाक स्कूलमेट्स। वी आर रीडिंग टेक्स्ट नंबर 6 टुडे। पुंसो वर्षा शतम् आयुस् तदर्दं चाजितात्मनः निष्फलं यद् असो रात्र्याम् शेतेन्दं प्रापितस्तमः। पुंस ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रीले श्री भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रीला प्रभुपाद। श्रीला प्रभुपाद की जय। ट्रांसलेशन। एवरी ह्यूमन बीइंग हैज अ मैक्सिमम ड्यूरेशन ऑफ लाइफ ऑफ 100 इयर्स, बट फॉर वन हू कैनॉट कंट्रोल हिज सेंसेस, हाफ ऑफ दोज इयर्स आर कंप्लीटली लॉस्ट बिकॉज एट नाइट ही स्लीप्स 12 आवर्स बीइंग कवर्ड बाय इग्नोरेंस। देयरफॉर सच अ पर्सन हैज अ लाइफ टाइम ऑफ ओनली 50 इयर्स। पर्पोर्ट। लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा, अ ह्यूमन बीइंग एंड एन एंट all live for 100 years, but their lifetimes of 100 years are different from one another. This world is a relative world and its relative moments of time are different. Thus the 100 years of Brahma are not the same as the 100 years of a human being. From Bhagavad Gita we understand that Brahma's daytime of 12 hours equals 4,300,000 times 1,000 years. Sahasra yuga pariyantam aharyat brahmano vidhu. Thus the varsha shatam or 100 years are relatively different according to time, person and circumstances. As far as human beings are concerned, the calculation given here is right for the general public. Although one has a maximum of 100 years of life, by sleeping one loses 50 years. Eating, sleeping, sex life and fear are the four bodily necessities. But to utilize the full duration of life, a person desiring to advance in spiritual consciousness must reduce these activities. That will give him an opportunity to fully use his lifetime. Hare Krishna. We are reading, which is undoubtedly one of the most powerful sections from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and also one of the, we can confidently say, one of the most popular sections also. Because in this section, we see that Prahlad Maharaj is emphasizing on the emergency, on the dire need to take to spiritual life. As an emergency, right now we have to take. And especially, he is emphasizing how we have to grab the process of Krishna consciousness as an emergency at a young age. Right at the young age, we have to grab. So, in this whole chapter, Prahlad Maharaj was instructing. We were studying this chapter recently and we were seeing that Prahlad Maharaj is focusing on two themes in this whole chapter, which is essentially what the Srimad Bhagavatam is also always focusing upon. Everywhere we will find these two themes strikingly in the Bhagavatam. And the Bhagavatam has the same mood as Prahlad Maharaj. And what Prahlad Maharaj is doing is two things. First is, he is emphasizing on the futility of material life. How life of sense gratification is useless. And today's verse also is presenting a scary picture of life in this world. And the second aspect which Prahlad Maharaj and Bhagavatam very beautifully presents again and again is Krishna as the most attractive person, as our only shelter. So therefore, Krishna consciousness is not pessimistic. Bhagavatam is not giving a very pessimistic view of life. It is hope smashing in the sense our hopes on happy life in this world is smashed by Bhagavatam. But Srimad Bhagavatam is also hope-giving. It reveals to us our eternal relationship with Krishna and how we should love Krishna and we can experience unlimited peace and happiness. So both these themes are perfectly illustrated and perfectly presented, you know, blended very nicely in this classic masterpiece, Srimad Bhagavatam. And on the one hand, what we are seeing in today's this chapter, we have a 5-year-old boy who is, through his classmates, slapping at all of us. And with compassion, of course, with love and compassion. And he's telling us, you fool, you rascal, get up, practice spiritual life. And on the other hand, in the same chapter, Prahlad Maharaj is telling us about Krishna. It's very painful to, especially, you know, if a thief is caught, he becomes very angry. If he's exposed, somebody is exposed of some wrongdoing, they get very angry. That is why Bhagavatam is very disturbing for materialistic people, because it exposes what they are doing. And imagine, it's not just some police or some big person who's exposing you, some 5-year-old boy exposes you. It's all the more painful. So that's why what we are reading here is Prahlad Maharaj is stating the obvious facts of life in this world. Like you can see in this chapter, we are around the 6th verse. How does this chapter begin? The first verse itself, Prahlad Maharaj answers a typical question of a materialistic person. Generally people tell us when we go out to preach, see, you people say that life is temporary in this world, anytime death can come. So we also know that. That's why we are enjoying life. Anytime death can come, so we want to enjoy and be happy. So Prahlad Maharaj answers that question right in the beginning of the chapter by saying, he gives 4 reasons why we should practice Krishna consciousness. He says, in this first verse, he says, Tadap adruvam artadam kaumaram acharet pragyo. He says, life is temporary, I agree, Prahlad Maharaj says, but artadam, adruvam api artadam, it is full of meaning. Human life is full of meaning because of 4 reasons. First is, it is durlabham manusha janma. It's very rare. Human life is very rare, although it is temporary. Not every soul gets a human body. It's rare. Then only in human life we can understand devotional service. And not only we can understand devotional service, in human life, even if you practice a little devotional service, we get unlimited benefit and it is protected. So like that, he gives very logical reasons. Now, these classmates of Prahlad Maharaj might, of course, just presenting the hypothetical case. So the students might argue, they might tell Prahlad Maharaj, oh, you are saying we should practice Krishna consciousness because human life is rare, we can understand devotional service in human life, and thirdly, even little devotional service gives a lot of benefit. But you are telling to do devotional service for Lord Vishnu. Vishnu is our enemy. We cannot love Vishnu. We have heard so much from our parents. So in the next verse, Prahlad Maharaj clarifies. He says, no, the 4th reason why we should practice spiritual life, he says, in the 2nd verse, he says, Vishnu padopa sarpanam, we should take shelter of Vishnu lotus feet because Yadesha Sarva Bhutanam Priya Atmeshwara Suhurt. He is our most intimate well-wisher and friend. He is not some ordinary well-wisher. There can be many well-wishers, but he is a person, Priya Atmeshwara. We can have an intimate relationship with Krishna. That is possible when we take this human form of life. We can develop this consciousness. So these are the 4 reasons why we should take shelter of Krishna, Prahlad Maharaj says. So this is the first aspect of Bhagavatam, you know, glorifying Krishna, need for taking shelter of Krishna. But these boys might argue that, well, we will take shelter of Krishna, but what is wrong in enjoying sense gratification? Sense gratification is not bad. So now Prahlad Maharaj in the next verse, he answers how, he again gives 4 reasons how we should not engage in sense gratification. That is very, very bad. Like he says, Sarvatra labhate deva, text number 3. Yata dukkham ayatnata. First reason he says, we should not try to seek sense gratification because even animals get it. It's no big deal. What we are trying to enjoy, it's very low class. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Even animals are enjoying it. It's actually a very powerful statement. If you meditate on this, that how all our aspiration for enjoying sense gratification is what animals are enjoying. Is only Devamrita Maharaj was saying that when he was not a devotee, he was a student, he was working First time he read Prabhupada's book, he was sitting on a couch and reading, and he read this statement by Prabhupada that we are trying to enjoy sense gratification. This is what the animals are doing. And this is animal happiness. And Maharaj says, I was so struck by that statement that I fell down from the couch. Because I was so stunned by this amazing truth that yes, what are we trying to enjoy? Animals are doing that. And then he says, not only animals are doing, Prabhupada gives the example of high court judge versus a clerk in Science of Self-Realization. High court judge does less work, the clerk is working whole day, but high court judge gets more salary because he has a bigger responsibility. Similarly, human beings easily can meet eating, sleeping, mating, defending requirements, unlike the animals. We are not supposed to focus on that because we have higher responsibilities. We are supposed to understand God. We are supposed to understand our relationship with Krishna. Then he says, second point, sarvatra labhate devat yata dukkham ayatnata. We should not seek sense gratification because we automatically get it. Just like, what is that word? Yata dukkham ayatnata. Just like without endeavor we get dukkha. Similarly, without endeavor we'll get sukha also at the bodily level. Just like, is there anybody who prays, oh God, let me meet with an accident, or let my close relative die? Or nobody prays that, let me fail an exam. But still these things happen to some of us. So similarly, Shastras say, no need to pray for, no need to work hard for happiness at the bodily level. Taseva heto prayateta kovido. If you're intelligent, you should try to get that. Na labhyate yad brahmatam uparyada. We should try to get that which you will not get by wandering in the 14 planetary systems. Because talabhyate dukkhavat anyata sukham. Just like we get dukkha without asking, we'll get sukha also. Because kalena sarvatra gabhira ramasa. There is a great force called kal, which will ensure all these topsy-turvy things in this world, which is what in today's purport also, Prabhupada is writing about time. So, first point is, animals are enjoying sense gratification. And second, it's automatic. And third, in the next verse, it says, tat prayaso na kartavyo yadayur vayaparam. Third is, although it is automatic, animals are getting it. Third is, we have to work so hard. We have to spend so much time and energy to get this meager happiness at the bodily level. It's a very powerful point. If you analyze how people are working extremely hard for a little bit of sense gratification. You know, it's like a simple example. Person works hard whole life so that he can earn enough money and save enough money and finally have his own house. He works till the age of 65, works hard and finally has his own savings and gets a big nice house, enters that house. But that's the time to die now. He's 65, 70, old. He can't enjoy that house. This is what Prahlad Maharaj is pointing out. This is like we build a building. There's a nice building coming up behind, tall building. God forbid, not that building, but somewhere, imagine somebody is building a nice building and somebody is building a nice building and nice windows and lift and everything is going on nicely, but there is one huge man with some powerful weapon and he is slowly breaking the foundation of the building. And when the building is finally complete externally, it's wonderful. And that time, the final blow, and the whole building collapses. Actually, that's life in material world. You know, we are working hard, making all the adjustments, everything nicely, building up. But Mr. Time is slowly breaking the foundation of our existence in this body. And finally, when we think everything is done, settled, finished. So it's a lot of endeavor. It's useless, Prahlad Maharaj says. And finally, he says, na tata vindate kshemam. Okay, you worked hard for it, but na tata vindate kshemam. You actually don't get a lot of happiness. It's not actually you are getting something profitable. You are getting very little for all that hard work. First of all, it's animals also get it, what we are trying to get. Secondly, it's automatic. And thirdly, you have to spend a lot of time and energy. And finally, what we get is simply relief from suffering. Some mitigation of some miseries, that's all. And it eventually ends with the body. Na tata vindate kshemam. And Prahlad Maharaj later on also says that we finally try to get happiness, but that attempt, that solution creates a bigger problem than the original problem. Kurvan, Kapila Dev says, Kurvan dukkha pratikaram sukaman mannate grahi. Agrahamedi, he thinks that if I try to reduce miseries, I am happy. Because the solution creates a bigger problem. Our Brahmachari devotee from Pune, Bal Govind Prabhu, he was telling us recently, he has got this massive pain in his knee. So he consulted all doctors, and finally one super specialist in Pune saw his knee, and he said, I think the main, he was a very smart person. He thought he was smart. So he diagnosed it and he said, this could be TB. And you know, there's a special type of TB, and Maharashtra government is on a TB elimination drive. So as a part of that package, this doctor came to Bal Govind Prabhu and gave him a big box of, white box of medicines for you, you know. He will be cured. He said, thank you for the solution to my problem, but is there any side effect? And the doctor said, well, your lungs will be affected badly. And one kidney might get damaged. But that may not be so serious, but hearing will, you will be impaired in hearing. Hearing will be affected. So Bal Govind Prabhu said, hearing is our main service in Krishna consciousness. I have to hear Krishna Katha. What is the benefit? You know, but why should I take this? He said, TB will go away. Take this. TB chala jayega. So we give one solution in this world, but that is a, this is the four problems Prahlad Maharaj is revealing. And finally he says, Natada Vindate Kshemam Mukunda Charanambujam. There is no time to take shelter of Krishna. There is no time to love Krishna if you engage in sense gratification. So like this he convinces the boys. So boys might argue, okay, we should take shelter of Vishnu. Second, we should not engage in sense gratification. Okay, we'll engage in devotional service, but not now, later, when we are old. So anticipating that, Prahlad Maharaj now says, no, we have to practice devotional service right now. And for that, text number 5 onwards, which we are reading now, today is 6. For the next few verses, he will give you 4 reasons why. At young age, we should practice, not we should not wait for old age, because now the body is stout and strong. Then he says how in old age, senses are uncontrolled because we have been not controlling the senses now. We'll get frustrated when we become old. And then third, he says, this also leads to attachment because our senses are not controlled in young age. We become attached to sense objects. And finally, because of this attachment, fourth, he says, our intelligence becomes weak. And we are not able to discriminate what is right and what is wrong. So Prahlad Maharaj very systematically dismantles all this theories on sense gratification. He dismantles and smashes all our hopes of enjoyment in this material world through powerful analogy, logic. Tejeta koshas kridiveha mana. He gives the example of a silkworm. Karmani lobhad avitripta kama. Just like a silkworm weaves its own cocoon and gets trapped by it. Similarly, a fruity worker works hard for happiness and finally is trapped by that same activity. Aupastya jaivam bahumanyamane. Bahumanyamane, these people think that I will be happy if I satisfy 2 things. Aupastya jaivam. My tongue and genitals, if I satisfy, I will be happy. But little do they realize that they are like a silkworm. They are being bound up. Katam virajyeta duranta moha. Oh, what an illusion. What a pity. This is heavy stuff for a 5-year-old boy to speak, and he is revealing such a bitter truth of this material life. But at the same time, as you said in the beginning of the class, he also speaks in the later verses how Krishna is our most loving parent, how we should take shelter of Krishna. He gives hope to the boys. He tells them, no, you have to abandon your demoniac tendencies, and then he explains how Krishna loves us. So we need these both approaches which Prahlad Maharaj is teaching us. We have to meditate on both these points, that how we are fallen in a well of material existence. We are suffering. Itvatma patam grahamanda kupam. This is not just a well, but anda kupam, blind, dark, abandoned well. Somebody is fallen in an abandoned well and is screaming. Nobody comes. Nobody hears him. So this life in this material world is like itvatma patam grahamanda kupam. Vanam gatoya arimashreta. Take shelter of Krishna. So this is Shukdev Goswami's mood also. Heavy, heavy chastisement. At the same time, there is Krishna also. So that we don't get completely disheartened. Shrotavyadini Rajendra, Nanam Santri Sahastrasha, Apashyatam Atma Tattvam, Griheshu Griha Medhinam. A person is considered to be Griha Medhi. Medhi means envy, Prabhupada translates here. And he says how we have thousands of topics to discuss about sports, politics, marriage, so many things. Shrota Vyadini Rajendra Niram Santi Sahasrasha. But apashyatam atmatattvam. We have no time for Krishna consciousness. Such a person is maybe living in household life, griheshu, but griha medinam is a griha medhi. So we need to understand that we are in this well, we are bitten by scorpions, snakes. It's very painful. And as we are, because we are covered by avranatmika shakti, we are covered. So we need pushing kick from below also to get out of the well. And we need somebody to pull us from above also. For the scorpions are biting us, we are miserable. So Bhagavatam is like, it helps a person realize that he is miserable in the well. And also at the same time, there is Krishna who is pulling us, who is giving us hope. So that's why we take shelter of Krishna consciousness. That's why Srimad Bhagavatam is the best scripture. And just like a person has fallen in the well and is bitten by scorpions, we are in this material world facing threefold miseries, death, disease, old age. And finally we realize, thanks to Srimad Bhagavatam, yes, I am suffering. An intelligent person realizes, oh, this is a miserable place. But what do I do? There is Krishna with a rope of devotional service waiting to pull us out through the agents of his spiritual master, through the agents of our spiritual master. Like that, Bhagavatam gives perfect explanation. Actually, if we study the Srimad Bhagavatam, we'll see right in the beginning, this trend is established, this mood is developed. The very first 3-4 shlokas of Bhagavatam, this is explained. The very first verse of Bhagavatam, how does it begin? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Krishna is established as son of Vasudeva and Devaki and as supreme personality of Godhead. And Srila Vyasadev says, Janma Dyasya Eton Vaiti Taratas Charteshu Abhigya Swarat. Krishna is the person from whom everything emanates. And Prabhupada gives such fantastic examples in the purport about how Krishna is the supreme Lord, how there is God. He gives the example like, if one insignificant man can put a satellite in space, one tiny satellite in space, how much more can somebody more intelligent than man, how much more he can do? And there are so many satellites, so many planets going around. Who has created them? You give another example. If God has created man and woman, and without God's direct intervention, man and woman can create more children and they can create more children. Can man make any machine? Can he make two machines which will replicate and keep producing more and more machines? Prabhupada asks like that. So he says, so God's intelligence is so great. He proves, he explains how Janma, this Krishna is supreme personality of Godhead. And how directly and indirectly, Abhigya Swarat, he knows everything, he is conscious of everything, he is Swarat, he is supremely independent. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye Muyanti Suraya. And he is the one who has imparted the original knowledge in the heart of Brahma. And he is also the person, Muyanti Suraya. He is the one who bewilders even the greatest demigods. Tejo Vari Mridam Vinimayo Etra Trisargom Risha. Just like sometimes somebody might see water in fire or land on water or mirage. Similarly, a person starts thinking that this world is real. Etra Trisar Gomrisha, the three modes of nature affect him and is completely bewildered. This illusory potency is a play of Krishna. Somebody might think, oh, Krishna is creating all this. Where is he? He is in the spiritual abode. Dhamna Svena Sada Nirasta Kuakam Satyam Param Dhimai. He is in the spiritual abode. So Krishna is established, the supreme personality of Godhead, and simultaneously the illusory energy is also revealed to us in the Bhagavatam. Somebody might say, oh, this is Krishna. Because this is important because we need different ways to go back to Godhead. One is the spiritual. If we are only given the spiritual world, we might not be attracted. Somebody has to tell us, get up, go. That is the spiritual world. You are suffering here. And if somebody is so lazy and so uninterested, then finally he has to be beaten. He has to be forced to go somewhere. That is the whole package of Krishna. Just like somebody have a donkey. The donkey is not working. So he will give grass. He will give many things. The donkey still might not be attracted to go and do the work. then what he will do? He will shout at the donkey's ear. Get up! Gade, what? He will tell him, get up, get up. Do the work. Ah, he'll shout. Still the donkey will not do. Finally, he'll get a stick and beat the donkey. And then the donkey will be forced. Like that, scriptures say, there is spiritual world. Descriptions are given. No, you're not attracted. Then there is shouting. Oh, you are suffering. You are a dog. You are a rascal. You are a fool. And then also, we don't agree. Then there is Durga Devi with the Trishul. She's beating us. Adhyatmika, Adhibhautika. So that we somehow get excited to go back to the spiritual world and enthusiastic. So after hearing the first verse, somebody might have a feeling that God is in his abode. But what's in it for me? What is there for me here? Why should I be attracted to devotional service? God is there in his abode and I am here in this material world. No, the second verse clarifies everything. Why we should practice devotional service. Dharma projita keta vatra paramo nirmat saranam satam vedyam vastavamatra vastu shivadam tapatrayon mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamunikrite Kimva Parerishwara Sadhyo Ridaya Varudyate Trakritibi Shushrustubi Stakshanat. Because where we can know Krishna, why we should practice devotional service to Krishna? Because this is all given in Srimad Bhagavatam. Vyasadeva has compiled this at the maturity of his realization. And this Bhagavatam, Dharma Projita Ketavatra Param, it kicks out all cheating religion, all bogus things, all nonsense. It is exposing. Completely is exposed. Dharma Projita Ketavatra Param. And pure-hearted souls can understand. And somebody might say, I'm not interested in Krishna, but Vedyam Vasta Matra Vastu Shivadam Tapatrayon Mulanam. Everybody is interested in well-being. So Bhagavatam is that Shivadam. It guarantees peace, happiness, well-being. How? Tapatrayon Mulanam. It removes all the miseries of material existence. Therefore, we have to take shelter of Bhagavatam, shelter of Krishna. And the best part is Sadhyo Hridaya Varudya Tetra Kritibi. Immediately in the heart, the culture of love for Krishna is generated if you take shelter of Bhagavatam. This is also given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So there is so much hope. So on the one hand, Bhagavatam reveals the miseries of this material world. And on the other hand, there is hope. Just like if somebody is drowning in a boat, this is Radha Gopinath Prabhu always gives this example. Somebody is drowning in a boat. Somebody comes with a better ship to help him come. He will not be attracted. I am happy in my boat. For this man in the ship has to convince him. See, there is a hole in your boat. See. But this man is not seeing. He is seeing up. Where is the hole? I can't see. No, no, there is a hole. Just see, see. He's forced. He's convinced. Then he's convinced. Yes. Oh, my boat is going to capsize. I'm going to drown. Is there any hope? The man on the ship says, yes. Come on my ship. Similarly, Bhagavatam first tells us how this world is miserable. How there is no hope in this world. So, a person is completely shaken. Yes. Now what? Come the boat of Krishna consciousness. This will guarantee an eternal life. Like that, we are given hope. But the problem in this material world is we are completely covered. We don't have the desire to hear and know. Srila Prabhupada was heavy and he would always chastise because of this. Because of that lethargy, not wanting to take spiritual life seriously. Like in America, there one devotee was saying that there is a jail which is having electric wires and such heavy security. Nobody can escape. And even if they escape out of the jail, they have to go through a lake and that lake has vicious crocodiles. But still, many people have escaped from that jail. But this devotee was giving a realization that this Durga, material world, has no fence. It has no covering. But still, nobody wants to escape from this world. Everybody is happily bound up here in this jail of material world. It's a tragedy. Because we are tightly bound by unseen ropes of desires of enjoying sense gratification. Asha nama manushyanam kaschid ascharya shankala yata baddha pradavanti mukta tishtanti panguvat. Asha, this desire to enjoy, is a very very funny kind of rope. Nitish explained. Kaschid ascharya shankala asha nama manushyanam. Man is bound by these ropes of desire. Yathabaddha pradavanti, one who is bound by these ropes of enjoyment, generally somebody is bound with a rope, he cannot move, you know. But Asha, somebody is bound by the ropes of desire, Yathabaddha pradavanti, he is running everywhere for enjoyment, for happiness. And Mukta tishtanti panguvat, and somebody who is free from these ropes of desire, he is in one place only. He is completely satisfied. He is chanting Hare Krishna. It's funny. This is Srimad Bhagavatam revealing that how we have to take shelter of Krishna. We have to break through these bonds. So when Bhagavatam in the first two verses says, okay, this is Krishna, we have to take shelter of Krishna. Why? Because we are suffering. We are bound up by this Trishul, Tapatraya. And Sadhyo Hridaya Varudhyatatra Kritibhi. Immediately in the heart, culture of Krishna consciousness is awakened. Somebody might think, what does it mean that Krishna is revealed in the heart? Or what does it actually mean? Practically, what does it mean? So third verse, Vyasadeva clarifies what it means. Nigama kalpa taror galitam phalam shukamugad amrita dravya sanyutam pibata bhagavat rasamalayam muhur ho rasika bhuvi bhavuka. He says, all Vedic literatures are like a desire tree, and Bhagavatam is like the ripened fruit of that tree. And Shuka Mukhad Amrita Dravya Sanyutam, and Shukadeva Goswami has given this nectar, this amazing fruit of Bhagavatam, which is Amrita Dravya Sanyutam. It's not ordinary Amrit. When you think of nectar, we think it's either solid or liquid. What is it? But Prabhupada translates here, Amrita Dravya. Dravya Prabhupada translates as Bhagavatam is like semi-solid, soft, and easily swallowable. That is the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam, which Shukadeva Goswami is giving to all the conditioned souls. So what we experience when we take shelter of this Bhagavatam, what actually we mean by realizing Krishna? Pibata Bhagavata Rasam Alayam. We'll experience rasa. Rasa means mellow, juice. Everybody is looking for rasa, whether it is Brahma or ant. Everybody wants some excitement in life. You know, if there is a mango kept and we are attracted to a mango, not because of the fragrance of the mango or the color of the mango or the shape of the mango, because of the rasa. Similarly, in this world, we are attracted to some person or some activity or some relationship because there is some juice, some rasa we experience in our heart. So we are all looking for rasa. Pibata Bhagavatam, but if you drink the nectar of Bhagavatam, Rasam Alayam, that is this huge ocean of rasa. And another meaning of Alayam is even liberated souls. This rasa is so attractive to even liberated souls. Krishna is so attractive. And then he says, Muhur Aho, oh Rasikas, those who want to relish this rasa. Muhur Aho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavuka. If you are Bhavuka, if you are deeply thoughtful and an intelligent person, or if you are Rasika, both of you will be completely satisfied if you take shelter of Bhagavat. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, he explains how if you simply follow this, the purport of what this verse is saying, Prabhupada says we will experience full pleasure to our heart's content if you take shelter of Bhagavatam. He says, Prabhupada writes, Srimad Bhagavatam has been so carefully presented that if you are simply sincere and serious, we can experience highest pleasure. So this is very, very interesting. First two verses of Bhagavatam give the identity of Krishna, why we need to practice Krishna consciousness. And now, the third verse is telling us that this Bhagavatam is the cream of all that knowledge. It is giving us rasa. It will help us experience relationship with Krishna. So that is why Bhagavatam has this wonderful combination. It is shaking us from our slumber, from our complacency, and then giving us Krishna. And Alayam, even liberated soul. Shukadeva Goswami himself was a liberated soul. You have attached to the impersonalist idea. But he took birth and he walked away to the forest. And Srila Vyasadeva was very concerned that his son should become a devotee of Krishna. This is a pastime. But still, it's very instructive. Shukadeva Goswami has left, deeply absorbed in his impersonal realization. And Vyasadeva is desperate that my son should get attracted to Krishna. So he sends a few of his disciples in the forest. So they are in the guise of woodcutters. And they sing two verses. about Krishna. And Shukdev Goswami hears that. Oh, this is Krishna. This is the supreme absolute truth. And he completely changes. So, as he's walking, the disciples, they sing. This is a verse from the 10th canto. Baraha pidam natavara vapu karnayo karnikaram bibrada vasah kanaka kapisam vaijayanti chamalam randran venur adhara sudaya parayan gopa vrinder vrindaranyam swapadaramanam pravishad gita kirti. So in this verse, the disciples are singing how Krishna is entering Vrindavan forest and coming back from Vrindavan. How does he look? So first they attract Shukadeva Goswami by presenting Krishna's beauty. So to attract Shukadeva Goswami, they present two things, two aspects of Krishna's personality, which are very attractive. Any person can be attractive if you have these two features. So they present two features. One is this beauty part. Barha Pidam Natavara Vapu. He has this beautiful peacock feather on his curly hair and he's dressed like a great actor, Natavara Vapu. And Karanayo Karanikaram, and his beautiful lilies, beautiful flowers on his ears. Krishna. And Bibrada Vasa Kanaka Kapisam Vaijayanti Chamalam, and he's put on dazzling yellow, brilliant dresses. Jai Shri Shraddha Gopinath Ki Jai. Krishna has put on dazzling, effulgent yellow dress. Vaijayanti cha malam, and is a beautiful Vaijayanti garland. And Krishna is very graceful. Randran, Venur, Adhara Sudaya, Parayan, Gopa Vrindir. And very dexterously, Krishna plays his flute and he is investing his love and the spiritual love into the holes of the flute. And that flute is creating madness in Vrindavan. Animals, birds, gopas, everybody is completely captivated by Krishna's flute. Vrindaranyam Swapadaramanam Pravishad Gita Kirti. This is how Krishna is entering Vrindavan. So when Shukadeva Goswami hears this, oh, this is Krishna, this is how beautiful he is. He is completely captivated. So this is the beauty part. Then the disciples, then they sing another aspect of Krishna, which is actually for most of us who are not attracted to Krishna's beauty, and we find Krishna's beauty not so inspiring for us at this conditioned stage, we can be attracted to Krishna by the second feature, which is very practical. And Shukadeva Goswami hears that. And what is that? That is the mercy feature of Krishna. Aho bakiyam stanakala kutam jigam samapaya yadapya sadavi lebe gatim datri uchitam tatonyam kamba dayalum sharanam rajema. So these disciples are singing how, oh Krishna, Bakiyam, sister of Bakasur, Putana, she put poison in her breast and she tried to kill baby Krishna. She was asadavi, but still Krishna gave her the position of nurse in the spiritual world. Kamva dayalum sharanam rajam. Is there somebody more merciful than Krishna and more worthy of taking shelter? So Shukadeva Goswami is hearing these two aspects of Krishna. Beauty, unparalleled beauty and unfathomable mercy. And he rolls on the ground, is ecstatic and he becomes a devotee. So for us who are not attracted to Krishna consciousness, who are not attracted by Krishna's beauty, unfortunately, we can meditate on Krishna's mercy. And for Kali Yuga people, everybody is suffering. And mercy is more attractive than beauty. If you are suffering and a beautiful person comes, our attraction will depend on how much that person can alleviate our suffering. Isn't it? Like in the kitchen, we are sometimes serving, cooking or something, and sometimes some hand burns, some hot dal falls, hand is burning, and some beautiful person comes. We are not attracted. But the beautiful person comes with Bernal. something to help us remove that burning. Then that person becomes attractive because he's beautiful, yes, but he is helping me get relief. So Krishna is beautiful, unlimitedly beautiful, but is also so merciful. So when you meditate on Krishna, this mercy aspect, we'll we get attracted to Krishna. Right now, our condition is like, you know, we don't want to even explore. Not we. I mean, generally, we can use this for most of the people in this world. They don't want to hear about Krishna. We have so many devotees who are practicing Krishna consciousness sincerely. But for most of the world, they don't want to explore this aspect of Krishna as a most merciful person, as a most attractive person. Our situation is like that of some rats, which the scientist Pavlov, he studied, a Russian scientist. He put these two rats in one cage. And he put two switches in the cage, one red button and one blue button. So when these rats would accidentally press the red button, they would get shock. And when they would press the blue button, food would fall on them. So they were completely absorbed in this, you know. So after some days, he changed the switch. He made red one. When they would press red, food would fall. And when they would press blue, they would get shock. And after some days, again he changed. For these rats, they were confused, but they figured out the way out. And eventually, they got so absorbed in this game, and he kept changing it more often, the switches. But they got so absorbed in this game that the scientists then eventually removed the door of that cage. And guess what? The rats didn't go out. They were so absorbed and so happy in that game. They didn't realize that they had to get out of this cage. Actually, and he called it as a theory of classical conditioning, which applies to human beings also. We are also theory of classical conditioning. You know, completely absorbed in our little games, little things of this world, that we don't realize that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come, opened up the gate, you know. Get out of this material world. No, I have got so many things to do. I've got. For everyone. For grihasthas, they might have their own things. For brahmacharis also, it could be my body, my locker, my things. So many things. We don't want to get out of this world. It's a tragedy. So then in the next verse, after these three verses, somebody might wonder, okay, we'll get experience rasa in Krishna. We'll experience Krishna's beauty. But what is the nature of this rasa? What will happen when we get this rasa? We might have that feeling also, that question in our mind. So Rajdev says, Fejaf and Naimisharanya, they explain that if we somehow get connected to Krishna, we will never be satisfied. It's funny, in material life also we are never satisfied. But in Krishna consciousness, we are transcendentally satisfied. We are first materially satisfied and transcendentally not satisfied. In the sense, we want more. Vayam tuna vitripyama uttama shloka vikrame. Because they are talking about Krishna, we want more. We want to hear more about Krishna. Yes, srinvatam rasagyanam swadu swadu pade pade. We are experiencing swadu swadu, more and more taste at every step, as you are telling. Because this is not ordinary gyan. Yes, srinvatam. We are not hearing ordinary gyan. We are hearing yes, srinvatam rasagyanam. This is rasagyan. This is knowledge about rasa. And so there also Prabhupada writes, mundane news, mundane matters is all static. But Krishna consciousness, katha, is dynamic, Prabhupada writes. How? And he explains how when we read Krishna literatures, Bhagavatam, repeatedly, Prabhupada says, when we keep reading it again and again, then slowly, slowly, our darkness, our ignorance goes away. And with progressive reading, progressive realization comes of Krishna. So like that, Srimad Bhagavatam very beautifully explains. And we'll find Shukadeva Goswami calling a spade, very blunt. We'll directly chastise people. Nidraya rete naktam vavaye na chavavaya dva charte haya rajan kutumba bharane nava. In the night time, people are having only sex and sleeping, and daytime they are just earning money. Heavy chastising, you know. And then he says, taravo kimna jivanti, you are living, you are just trying to complete the act of being alive, but do the trees not live? Bastra kimna swasantuta, do the bellows of the blacksmith not breathe? Na khadanti na mehanti, you are interested in eating and sex, but do the animals in the villages not eat and have sex? Kim grame pashvo pare. So what is this life? And he gives actually gali. Swavidvara hushtra kare samtuta purushap pashu. Nayat karana pato peto jatu nama gadagraja. He says, a person who is not interested in Krishna katha, he calls him swavidvara hushtra kare. He says, you are a dog, you are a donkey. You are a wild pig. You are a camel. So, and at the same time, he describes Krishna's smile, Krishna's laughter, how we meditate on it, our lust will go away. He'll describe. So this giving, chastising is out of compassion, out of love, that get attracted to Krishna, because we need that shaking. There is one conversation of Srila Prabhupada I was reading, June 1976, New Vrindavan. So they are having a mock debate. So the disciples are playing the role of scientists and Prabhupada is smashing them. So in that argument, Prabhupada keeps saying, you rascal, you don't understand, it's like this. Rascal, fool. So finally these disciples, in the role of atheistic scientists, they turn the argument by telling Prabhupada, why are you calling us rascal? Why don't you discuss, you know, like this normal, why are you calling us rascal? And Prabhupada pauses. Prabhupada says, I'm calling you rascal because I love you. And because I love you, I want you to take to Krishna consciousness. Understand, you rascal? Again, Prabhupada goes. So Prabhupada is heavy. That's compassion. That's love. And later on also we'll see, in the first canto itself, we find so many, you know, these two contrasting, amazing contrasts in Bhagavatam. And Srila Prabhupada is an embodiment of this. In the Bhagavatam we find, actually this was Vyasadeva's vision. After Narad Muni instructed him and Srila Vyasadeva was alone meditating, in his meditation, what did he see? He saw both aspects of this truth. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihite male. He completely was in bhakti yoga, focused. What did he see? Apashyatam purusham purnam. He saw supreme personality of Godhead and mayam chatad apashrayam. He also saw maya under the control of Krishna. He saw both. He saw maya. See, when a pure devotee is seeing maya, he is not seeing maya in the sense of enjoyment. He is seeing in terms of alertness. And he is seeing in terms of reality. How maya is controlling the living entities and how Krishna has controlled maya. So therefore, a devotee, when he is practicing Krishna consciousness, we have to understand both these aspects of truth. About beauty of Krishna, how wonderful Krishna consciousness is. At the same time, how sense gratification is bad. How this is dog life. This is maya. Both have to be balanced. Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur was very heavy about this. If somebody, once one man came and said, oh, Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada, yesterday I saw Krishna in the dream. So Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur said, you saw Krishna? Did you see maya also in the dream? He said, no, I didn't see maya. Then your dream is bogus. So what the point I was trying to make was, you know, we can either become mayavadis or sahajiyas. If only talk about Krishna, Krishna's beauty, I love Krishna, then we become, as sadhakas, we'll become sahajiyas. But if on the other hand, we don't talk about Krishna, only, you know, this world is bad, this world is illusion, suffering, then we become mayavadis, because mayavadis are nothing higher. So that's why Krishna consciousness and Bhagavatam, when presented by pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada, is so perfect, because it saves us from both these dangers. Presents Krishna also, like Prahlad Maharaj is doing, this fantastic discourse he's giving to his classmates. Srila Prabhupada was perfect Bhagavat. You are representing Srila Vyasadeva perfectly, because he would chastise, he would criticize, and he would also present the truth. Like once, see, look, Srila Prabhupada had this vision, amazing vision. He was in his room, and Harishwari Prabhu was cleaning his room, and Prabhupada saw one sparrow was making a nest in Mayapur. Prabhupada said, remove that. So there were few leaves and few things only the sparrow had made. So the devotees removed it. But the sparrow was so determined. Again, next day he came with all those twigs and things and he again was trying to make a nest. Again, Prabhupada said, removed it. But the sparrow didn't understand. Again, he was coming. Every day he was trying hard. For so many days he was trying. Finally, he gave up. Prabhupada said, humans are so foolish. At least this sparrow, after trying so hard, he realized. Humans don't realize, they keep trying to make a nest in this material world, permanent abode, but material nature throws it off. Material nature finishes us, but still we are holding on. And then Prabhupada referred to this particular incident in the Bhagavatam class a few days later in the morning in Mayapur. He spoke about one pigeon story. He said, there was this pigeon family, very nice family. And mother pigeon and father pigeon went out to get food. And all the children pigeon were there. A hunter came, he put a net. And he captured all the children pigeon. And mother and father pigeon came. And mother was so shocked. And she said, oh my children, And she knew if she goes to save them, she will also be trapped. But out of affection, she ran in and she was also trapped by that net. And the father pigeon saw the children are trapped. The mother pigeon is trapped. And then what did the father pigeon do? Prabhupada asked. And paused and Prabhupada said, and the father pigeon was intelligent, he took sannyas. Prabhupada said, he took sannyas. He understood. Prabhupada has amazing vision. He would see through the facade of this material world how it's a farce. There is a nice poem. See, this poem which Prabhupada wrote in Vrindavan in 1952. I'll just like to read 2-3 paragraphs. This reveals Prabhupada's vision of this material world. Where in this Maya sansar, whom do I really love? Where have my loving father and mother gone now? And where are all my elders who are my own folk? Who will give me news of them? Tell me who. All that is left of this family life is a list of names. As the froth on the sea water mixes again in the sea, Maya's sansar play is just like that. No one is mother or father. Just like the sea foam, they remain but a short time. Just as the froth on sea water mixes again with the sea, how many bodies does the embodied soul take like this? All relatives are related merely to the temporary body. But again, the last paragraph proposes, but everyone is a relative brother in the spiritual platform. This relationship is not tinged with the smell of Maya. Krishna is the soul of everyone. In relation to him, all are your relatives, brother, all the billions of jivas. When seen in relation to Krishna, they are all in harmony. So like that, Prabhupada very beautifully, he speaks about how this world is miserable, but also he gives hope. He speaks about Krishna. At how in relation to Krishna, everything makes sense. Otherwise, it's a miserable place. And so he's comparing in this poem about how life in this world is like, it's like bubble. Kamala dala jala jivana talamala. If you take a soft drink or if you take Sprite and put it in a glass, you'll see, you know, bubbles. That's actually our life. How long that bubble lasts, that long is our life. And all the advancement we are doing in this material world is trying to make that bubble longer. That's all. So, and Prabhupada would always speak about this, how this life is temporary. Take to Krishna consciousness. And at the same time, Prabhupada was desperate to give Krishna to everyone. When I was in New Vrindavan, once again, Arishwari Prabhu was saying, Prabhupada gave a heavy talk on cat life, dog life, rascal, fool, chastising everyone. And after that class, he was going to his room. And he paused. There was a beautiful painting of Krishna returning from the forest of Vrindavan. And he just saw that painting. And for 5 minutes, he was just standing there. Just 5 minutes back, Prabhupada had given a heavy class. And now he's looking at Krishna's painting and just standing there for 5 minutes, which Arishwari Prabhu says appeared to be a very long time. And then Prabhupada gave a big smile. And smilingly he walked. And then he went, he took his prasad, didn't say a word. And then he had put the mosquito net. Arishwari Prabhu. Prabhupada went in to take rest and he was lying down and then he started saying, Krishna is so wonderful. And then for the next long time, for some minutes, Prabhupada went on speaking about Krishna's beauty, how Krishna is wonderful. And while speaking, his speech became a little incoherent and he fell asleep. So he was speaking about Krishna. Prabhupada had such a desperate desire to give Krishna, but because he saw that the world is steeped in sense gratification, he had to speak heavy. Pure devotee is soft like a rose and heavy like a thunderbolt. In the initial days in New York, when Prabhupada was giving class, and there is one in the Lilamrita, amazing section. Old people are sitting in the audience. This is before 26 Second Avenue. The apartment he was staying with Richard Nelson, David Allen. Old place and old people are coming. Prabhupada is telling them, and you have to practice spiritual life. Spiritual life is important. And Krishna tells in Gita, Krishna... Do you know Krishna? Have you seen painting of Krishna? Do you know Krishna? Do you know Bhagavad Gita? And the whole audience, they don't know anything. They're just looking. They are staring at each other and Prabhupada says, he's excited and he says, you don't know Krishna, you've not seen? And Prabhupada's voice drops. He's so disappointed. Nobody knows about Krishna. And Prabhupada has come to give Krishna to them. And therefore, when some devotees would ask about Krishna, Prabhupada would go into ecstasy. Govinda Dasi, Mataji, she was here recently. amongst the initial crowd, she was one of those intelligent girls. So one day during the class, everybody would ask all crazy questions. Sometimes in the middle of the class, somebody would get up and shout. Crazy things would happen. But Govinda Dasi Mataji, she asked one day, Swamiji, what is this love of Krishna in separation? Vipralamba, what is this? And Prabhupada said, what? Prabhupada became so happy, his eyes became big. Yes, yes, very good question. And then Prabhupada began to explain in great detail about the mood of the Goswamis of Vrindavan. Hey Radhe, Braj Devi Ke Chalalite. And as Prabhupada began to speak, he went into an ecstatic trance. And his voice trailed off, started shivering, tears came from his eyes. And none of these boys and girls could understand what it was. But they knew that there is something very deep that Swamiji is experiencing. And Srila Prabhupada has revealed that. In that bhajan, in that song he writes, when coming to America, Tumara milane bhai, abara se sukha pai, gochara ne guri dina bor, khata bane chutta chutti, bane kai lutta putti, sei din kabe have mor. Prabhupada says, oh Krishna, I am hankering to be with you and roam in the pastures of Vrindavan. And when will that day come? So like that, Prabhupada is hankering for association of Krishna and is also presenting Krishna consciousness in such a wonderful package, exactly the way Srimad Bhagavatam is presenting. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada is perfectly, the title of a person, Bhagavat, is perfectly applicable to Srila Prabhupada. So in this mood, when we take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, we can appreciate Prahlad Maharaj's teachings. And just to conclude, the essence of what we've discussed today is basically that Srimad Bhagavatam is presenting, like in Prahlad Maharaj's teachings now in this chapter, two aspects of Krishna consciousness, the scary aspect of material world, and at the same time, the beauty of the spiritual world of Krishna. And we can appreciate this and we can imbibe this mood of Bhagavatam if we hear this katha attentively. Just to conclude, I was recently hearing one class by His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, and he was saying that hearing means if you want to actually allow Bhagavatam to affect us, we have to hear not from the mind, but we have to hear from the heart. So he explained this. He said hearing from the mind means trying to hear Krishna katha with a mood to intellectually enjoy. Oh, nice pastime, nice analogy. Yeah. But hearing from the heart means we are taking shelter of the pastime, of the katha. As the katha is going on, we are in the mood of desperately wanting shelter. So he gave an example. He spoke the story of Krishna devouring forest fire. How this all the Brijvasis were in the forest and there was this forest fire and Krishna devoured. And then after that pastime, Maharaj said, so if you are hearing from the mind, you will hear this pastime and say, excellent pastime. Very nice story. Yeah, very nice. But if you are hearing from the heart, you will be thinking as the pastime is being narrated, yes, Krishna, I am in this forest fire. I am suffering in this world. Krishna, help me. Relieve me from this burning forest fire. So you are hearing attentively and at the same time taking shelter. This kind of hearing if we have, then Srimad Bhagavatam will affect us and will help us realize our constitutional position as the servant of Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. We'll not take any questions because it's a little late. We can take a couple of comments if Srinathji Prabhu or some other devotees have some comments. Thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.